You are listening to the Mindful Marketing Show podcast, episode 28.
Welcome to the Mindful Marketing Show with Kimberly Maska. You are about to be empowered as we teach you the best marketing strategies used by today's spiritual entrepreneurs. Get ready to share your message and inspire people worldwide.
Hello, I am Kimberly Maska, your Mindful Marketer, and I would like to welcome you to the relaunch of the Mindful Marketing Show, the podcast for spiritual entrepreneurs who are ready to change the world with their gift and have a business that reflects their authentic self. To celebrate the relaunch, I have a free gift for you. It is the Jumpstart Your Spiritual Business Guide. In it, you will find all of the tools you need to, well, jumpstart your spiritual business and create an abundance of time, money, and freedom. Don't wait to share your gift with the world. Get your copy of Jumpstart Your Spiritual Business today at mindfulmarketingshow.com. Now, before we jump in, this episode is brought to you by Kickstart Cart, my shopping cart of choice for myself and my clients. It has everything you need to create the business of your dreams with passive income, or as I like to call it, making money while you meditate. Picking the right shopping cart for your business is a big deal, and it can be very confusing. So what I have done is created a free workshop for you to help you through the decision-making process. You can find this free shopping cart workshop at mindfulmarketingshow.com/kickstart. That is mindfulmarketingshow.com/kickstart. Now let's listen to this episode. Enjoy. Hello and welcome. I am Kimberly Maska, your host of Mindful Marketing, the podcast where today's mind, body, spirit thought leaders discuss the latest strategies to build your business and take the icky out of marketing. Joining us today is Cynthia Sue Larson. Cynthia is a best-selling author, researcher, and transformational speaker who helps people visualize and access whole new worlds of possibility. Cynthia writes and teaches about the science of spirituality and how consciousness changes the physical world. Results from Cynthia's How Do You Shift Reality surveys, conducted in April 2000 and June 2013, document incidences of the most commonly experienced types of reality shifts, and her Reality Shifters website has compiled one of the most extensive collections of reality shift reports in the world. Her popular e-magazine, Reality Shifters, is eagerly awaited each month by thousands of subscribers worldwide. Welcome, Cynthia, to Mindful Marketing. How are you today?
I'm doing great.
Fantastic. Now, I was looking over things and I see you are a reality shifter, and I love that term. How did you end up down that path? What was your personal journey to become a reality shifter?
Well, it was a long journey, but it started simply enough just with experiences of noticing things appearing, disappearing, transforming, and transporting, and lots of synchronicities, lots of amazing experiences. And I felt that I wasn't the only one having these kind of experiences. So I started writing about it. I started a website, realityshifters.com, and wrote a book called Reality Shifts. So that was the beginning of it all back in 1999.
Fantastic. And now it has a lot to do with quantum physics and the dimensions of our world, right? Because that's looked really fascinating.
Yes, actually. The newest book that I've written is called Quantum Jumps, and it does talk about the extraordinary science of happiness and prosperity, bringing together research studies from biology, astronomy, physics, and making it really practical and fun. So it's not as heavy as it might sound. It's actually something we can all do.
Fantastic. What was the turning point of having a passion for all of this that you've learned and seeing all the synchronicities and stuff? What was the turning point in deciding to make it a business?
Yeah, that's a great question. It did happen right around the same time, I think around 1999, because actually I did have a website before then, but it wasn't set up with a .com, you know, code. And so it didn't have its own catchy name. I was on radio shows talking about these ideas when one of the interviewers said, you know, you really should have like a website. I thought, oh, he's right. I should. Before then, I was feeling like, okay, I just wanted to find out, is this happening to other people? And how widespread is this? I was starting to do surveys. But with that brilliant comment, then I started the Reality Shifters website itself back in 1999. So technically, I had been doing things before then, but it wasn't quite so organized. And I didn't have a mailing list. I was sending out emails. Now, if you go back to that era, it was like a different time. There wasn't the social media. And in fact, I had used the ARPANET before it was the internet, going even further back. So I didn't know what was about to happen, you know, the way that all this explosion of social media and everything would be happening. But back then in 1999, I did realize right around 1999 that I should get in touch with people and stay in touch with them. So I started an e-zine, which is a newsletter through an email, and just with people that I found on various discussion lists that were on Yahoo and so forth. So that was the beginning of becoming a little bit more professional about that, as well as I was doing some workshops and talks and recognizing that I really should publish the book that I was working on, not just have a three-ring binder. So a lot of things were coming to mind around that same time frame. So it was the beginning, but I was kind of a slow person to get it rolling. It you know, just recognizing, like, what am I doing exactly? Because sometimes when you start something like this, you don't know what to call it. You're an author, but I started calling myself a life coach, but I wasn't doing the kind of life coaching other people were doing. It was more spiritual, so I called it spiritual life coaching, and nobody else was calling themselves that back then. So it seemed, I felt like I didn't have a mentor to look to exactly. It was kind of an interesting place to be. You know, I think that's true for a lot of people in mind, body, spirit. They are very unique, and they don't always want to be exactly like someone else necessarily. That was true for me.
Yeah. And I like how you kind of switched the name up to a spiritual life coach to distinguish yourself from everyone else. That's a great marketing tactic for sure.
Well, thank you. Yeah. And it seemed true. I was trying to be more honest about what am I doing so people could find me. Yeah.
So what do you think are the challenges that we face as mind, body, spirit entrepreneurs? What challenges did you face as you began marketing your business?
Well, once getting past the challenge of, I can't believe I'm doing this because it's kind of embarrassing, because I've got an MBA degree and I do have a background in physics. So I was overcoming my internal, I guess you could call it barriers or concerns about, you know, I felt like coming out of the closet, like, okay, I really do love this stuff. I love mind, body, spirit topics. But the way that I'm sharing it, I felt nervous about sharing that. So I had to overcome that, first of all. But then once I got past that, and that's an individual process, I believe, I started recognizing, okay, there's an interest in this. This is what I love. It's my passion. I'd like to help encourage other people to find their passions, you know, working with them as a spiritual life coach. And I know what it feels like to be overcoming sort of that internal barrier of not even knowing how to get going. But once I got past all of that, the next milestones really were building that mailing list up. It started with, I think, about 700. That was pretty good, actually. I got it to about 700 emails just on my own. And I was actually emailing 700 people from my email to theirs, not at all automated.
Wow. Dedication,
yeah.
Total dedication.
It was total dedication for sure. But that was also the turning point. When I got to that, I thought, you know, this is getting kind of hairy, recognizing every time someone changes their email, do I want to be dealing with an email change? You know, I should have a system for this. So that was a wake up call. And I've had a series of these little wake up calls of, you know, recognizing a need to, you know, streamline things, jump on board with whatever the new technologies are for things like mailing lists, for example. So went through a couple of different mailing lists. Now I'm with Constant Contact, which has been quite good, and automating things on my website so I'd be able to sell products. For a while, I was selling my own ebooks before Amazon had the Kindle. I was actually doing that, making thousands of dollars a year, you know, with ebook sales through my website. So I think I've had an interesting journey because I've been doing things as the technology is changing. And I think a lot of people right now might feel overwhelmed. Like, there's so many options. How do you choose? And I think just getting started would be my advice. Do something and then you can fix it once you're doing something. At least you're doing something.
Right. Yeah. I can always change it later for sure.
Right.
So who is your ideal client and how are you marketing to them?
My ideal client is someone who knows that they are really smart, that they really have it going on, but their untapped abilities, and there's that sense, that feeling that they're missing out on something. And so it could be that they're missing out on a life partner or doing the work that they really love to do, or that they might just feel like their life that they're living is a little bit off somehow and they're not sure what's wrong, but they just have this deep sense of ennui, you know, dissatisfaction, like something's a little bit messed up. And the way that I work with them is one-on-one as a life coach, of course. Then I am able to do what I would call an intuitive reading for them. It's a cold read. My preference is to not know anything about them, because then I feel more confident in getting correct information rather than letting my own biases color things. So I basically would do an intuitive read from their high self, middle self, low self, and then working with their divine gift, type all that up. And the first session would be going through, it's kind of like a snapshot at that time, showing this is how they're feeling and what they need. And it gives them and me both this sort of a springboard from which our conversation begins. Ideally, I work with people to teach them how to tune in their own unique abilities to connect with their spirit guides, if that's what they do, or their dreams, if that's how they operate. Basically, working with what their own unique abilities are to fine tailor that and make it really successful for them, you know, on the inside of how do they do that with connecting to source, connecting with spirit, that kind of thing.
That's beautiful. We all need to connect a little bit more and know where we're headed for sure. So how are you marketing to them? Are you using social media, and what tools are working best for you in reaching those clients?
Exactly. Well, I'm an author, and it's important as an author to learn how to do a book launch, which you can actually, a lot of authors don't know, you can do a book launch anytime. You can, doesn't have to be when the book first comes out. So I did a book launch for my book Reality Shifts, which is that same book that I was working on back in 1998. And I did it just a couple of years ago, so it was phenomenally successful. I've learned how to work with YouTube, with Google Plus, with Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn, and using some tools which I think are priceless, such as Hootsuite, which enables me to pre-schedule a lot of my posts so that I'm able to put, for example, if I'm doing a book launch in partnership with another author, I can promote what they're doing on a certain day and time using pre-scheduled tweets, which are those very short little soundbitey messages which fit in 140 characters or less, and use hashtags if necessary or if possible. So there's a lot that I'm doing, and I could go into a lot more detail, but I think a lot of people, they don't even have a clue that even if you're not an author, you can benefit from a lot of the same things authors do to make their book a best-selling book on Amazon, which I've done with a number of my books. And for me, it's necessary in order to make a living doing what I do. I need to have best-selling books. I need to make sure that my message is getting out there, that I know who my target market is, and that I'm partnering, you know, through Facebook, through Twitter, you know, through social media, and using YouTube and the connection, the very special connection that YouTube has to Google Plus, to enjoy some of the additional exposure that I can get, which wasn't possible back when I started in 1999. So like I said, things are changing rapidly, and I've been coming up learning curves all over the place, but it's been an exciting journey.
Well, it sounds like you've been keeping up really well. And I'll point out I will mention to my listeners that the YouTube videos and that connection with Google Plus is really fantastic. And that's something that everyone needs to step back and be like, if you're not doing videos, you really need to think about posting videos, because it is amazing how Google Plus is working with that and then boosting it up on your searches. That's amazing.
Yeah. And something people, if they are doing the YouTube, another thing people don't think to do is choose a good title for the video and put closed captions in there and make sure that you've got a description of what is in the video. And if you do a blog, you can link to the blog and you can embed the video in the blog. So these are all things I'm currently doing as well. And there's a lot more, but I don't want to overwhelm people. But basically, I guess the big thing I would say is just take one small step, you know, do something. And if you don't know where to start, I love what you do. I'm just so excited that you are providing this wonderful service, Kimberly, because so many people, they feel overwhelmed, especially now, because if they haven't started and if they don't have their irons and all these little fires, how on earth would they know where to start? You know, it's confusing.
It's confusing, and it changes so quickly. So you learn one thing and then they change and then you're like, wait. And yeah, it's so overwhelming. And then if it's not your unique ability and you have a gift that you're trying to share and you're trying to learn this, it would drive me crazy too.
Absolutely. But something that I think I mentioned Hootsuite really fast, and I love it because even though it charges like, I think $5.99 a month is the rate that I'm paying right now, it is really worth it to be able to just make regular posts on social media. Because some people feel I used to feel this way too. I can't waste time logging onto Facebook and Twitter. You know, why are people posting about their breakfasts and everything? And you don't need to do that. In fact, I think that's a big mistake a lot of authors make, is posting about things that are not connected to their image at all. And then they're kind of misusing the social media. So you need to get in mind, this is my business persona. I am projecting this, and it needs to match what my message is.
That's a really good point. And it's interesting because there's this kind of fine line between, it seems that people want to know more about you and what you're doing. So then I think that's that fine line of, oh, I'm out here having a orange juice watching the sunrise. But then you're right. If it doesn't match your brand, it's a really fine line that you have to walk, and showing who you are, but making sure your message gets across.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think that's another good reason to work with someone like you, to figure out, like, what the heck, how do you know when to do that? Because it's kind of like this whole new world for people who didn't grow up with social media.
Yeah. Do your customers engage with you in one medium versus another more often?
Well, lately I'm getting a lot more involvement on YouTube, which actually surprises me. And it seems like it's the trending area. Maybe it's because I post a couple of videos a month usually, but I don't think that's it. And I'm picking up subscribers like crazy on YouTube right now. I would guess it's because that's the way people with their busy lives are finding these interesting types of things that I talk about and that I share. They find it on YouTube. So the idea with social media is you want to be where people are. So you can think of it as a big cocktail party, and you don't want to be hiding in the back room, you know, so nobody can find you. You need to get out there and mingle. And so with me, mingling on YouTube has been really interesting, because the comments, there's been some big changes with YouTube, I think mostly for the better, because the commenting is enabling people who post the videos to more carefully, you know, ensure the quality of the communication and the conversation that occurs in the comment section. Before there was this, I don't want to go into all that. It's changed. Just put it that way. It has changed. And I like the way that now people really are sort of more public. And so when they make a comment, it's better for them to be polite and say something that is, you know, obviously coming from them. And as long as it's adding to the conversation and not being rude or way off topic, then you don't need to delete, you know, unfortunate comments that might be appearing on your videos. But sometimes if people are rude, then you have the options with YouTube to decide, okay, I'm just going to blank that one out. You might choose to block a person if they're constantly posting things that are off topic. So if people are listening to the show and they're feeling like, I don't want to have a YouTube channel because I've seen the comments people post, you actually can, you know, pay attention to that page. And it takes a little care, like tending a garden, but you can actually encourage communication and get some really high quality conversations going in the comments.
Yeah, it's a great place to engage with your customers, for sure. You're an author of several books, as we were just discussing. So let's talk a little bit about the publishing process and what you learned and your experience there, because it sounds like you have a lot of experience in that area.
Right. Well, the first time that I actually brought a book out into paperback, it was with a literary agent who shopped the book around New York City and found a potential buyer. And interestingly, I was trying to get my book Reality Shifts published. What actually happened was that my agent said, well, I know you wanted to publish this book about reality shifts, but how would you feel about writing a book about auras? Because I've got a publisher interested in that topic. If you put together a book proposal, we can pitch it and see how it goes. So that's what happened. And that book, Aura Advantage, was first published through my literary agency, finding the contract with Adams Media. So that was an amazing experience, because I was a first-time author coming out with this book, you know, through a publishing house with lots of editors. It was great to have the editorial team. Then they helped choose what the cover would look like. They make those choices. And so I didn't have as much creative control on content. If we came down to a section, like a chapter that seemed a little long, the editors would sometimes throw I thought they were throwing the baby out with the bathwater. And I couldn't quite override that decision, because that was the publishing house making that choice. And I could see their point. So that was my first time out the gate with a book, was through Adams Media with Aura Advantage, the first edition. Subsequently, I decided, you know, that was fun, but I would rather have more creative control. So then when I brought out my next book, which was a fictional book, Karen Kimball and the Dreamweaver's Web, I published through iUniverse. which I wouldn't recommend. I mean, at the time it was a good choice, but now I would recommend people look elsewhere. But for print on demand, it was pretty good. And it was a good experience in terms of coming up that learning curve again. I've also published, self-published through finding a company that would sponsor me, but then I would cover the costs of printing charges and layout and design. And then I had the books printed in China and then shipped to the U.S., and that was the second edition of Aura Advantage. And then after that, I've been really happy with working with CreateSpace, which is an Amazon subsidiary. And I don't get paid for any of these endorsements or anything. So I'm just being honest and telling you what works for me. And what I love about CreateSpace is I do have full creative control. So with my new book, Quantum Jumps, I did shop it to, there were a couple of publishers I thought would be that I would like to work with. And when I got turned down from my favorite one, then I thought, you know, this is actually, I got this goosebumpy feeling of tremendous excitement. Like, oh, yay, now I can get full creative control. I can get the cover for the book exactly like I like it. I can get the front and the back design perfect and have that full creative control with the interior art, the layout, the design, editing, everything. So that's currently my first choice, but as you can see, there are different things to consider when you're publishing a book. Is, you know, all of the, I didn't go into all the details about what happens when you work with a traditional publisher, but there are some downsides to that, including, you know, in my case, lots of books were falling off the truck is what they would tell me. And I'm not going to name names about, you know, what exactly happened with the distributor, but something was happening in New Jersey. And, you know, you get this image of like the mob or something, and it may not be too far off the mark, you know, because these books are vanishing and then suddenly they're appearing and I'm not getting paid for them. And so these are more things that you have more control over when the book is print on demand, because the books are not falling off the truck, which is nice. And you're more likely to get the revenue directly for all of the electronic media sales. When you have your audiobook versions, your ebook versions, that right now is the lion's share of the income that authors receive, at least for me.
Right. And then that's a really good point. When you have them pre-printed and they're sitting somewhere and they disappear, and yeah, the print on demand is definitely the way to go. Saves cost all around for everybody.
Right.
So what has been your biggest challenge with marketing overall?
Well, I'd say it's kind of interesting. It's like seeing myself, like how do I position myself so that it's my message is timely and I'm conveying something that's for me a very personal sense of why I do what I do and why I care so much about it in a way that connects with people and really touches their hearts. Because if you don't really make that connection, then marketing, especially in the mind, body, spirit community, it comes off as very fake and pushy. And so I feel like for it to work, it can't be a shtick. It can't be an act. It needs to be genuine. Yeah, but then the trick is, how do you look in the mirror and see what it is that other people would find most interesting? And that's challenging. I'll just be honest. To see yourself is really hard. So, you know, there's tremendous value again in, and we didn't work this out ahead of time. I wasn't telling Kimberly, I'm going to come on and plug what you do. But honestly, you know, to have someone like yourself, Kimberly, to be that sounding board, to be able to be that mirror and show people this is, you know, this is what the message is really resonating. And this is what you're getting across. Is that what you mean to be getting across? And this is what people are hearing, you know. So I think the biggest challenge is just getting that feedback and growing from it, not taking it personally, learning from it, and keeping that ever-changing image. So when you have that sense of putting that image out there, it's not stuck, because you're not stuck. You know, each one of us changes. And as we do, then you need to make sure that you're moving the message to match what you're currently providing. And that's just an ongoing challenge.
Yeah. And it is definitely a growth and learning process, because you come out of the gate one way and then you're like, no, that's not what my people want to hear. And the adjustment. And yeah, it is so important to have that other set of ears and eyes looking over what you're doing. And just so my people know, even I have a coach. Everyone, you know, so because I'm working with clients and I sometimes don't pay attention to what I'm doing for me. So, you know, we all need that second set of eyes for sure.
Yeah, exactly.
So looking back on your journey, because you've had a very successful and lengthy journey on this whole process, looking back, if you had to do it all over again, knowing what you know today, what would you do differently?
Well, I think I would have not brought that book, Karen Kimball, out with iUniverse. That when I look at everything, it's like, well, that would have been, I would have skipped that. But at the time, you know, it wasn't a complete disaster. It was a learning experience. And I guess I would have moved earlier to an email service, but I didn't really find a good one early on. So that would have saved a lot of trouble. And because automating things really does make a difference. And I think just having more confidence that I can do what I'm doing would have been a good thing. If I could have talked to my earlier self and said, you know what, believe in yourself. You know, this, what you're doing has value. And never mind if the publishers in New York don't see it yet, they will. You know, because this is really interesting that book Reality Shifts was not picking up interest in the New York publishing house business, because right after I'd been shopping it around, things like What the Bleep Do We Know came out, and you know, all these other books came out. So obviously there's tremendous interest in this whole mind, body, spirit area. So I'd say, you know, just don't get discouraged when things seem like you might have hit a dead end. Just back up, get a bigger picture, and take another way through.
Yep. Keep moving forward all the time.
Yep.
Where do you see yourself going as you continue to build your platform and your business? What are the next steps for you?
Well, definitely increasing the audiobook angle, because I didn't have that for a while. So I'm just now catching up with that, providing audiobooks. Because like I said, the digital platform base is so important. And I believe that finding a way to put together a framework of courses that I can sell and making it digitally available will be definitely a next step. I'm not sure of the time frame, but you know, finding someone to work with to, you know, bring that out so that I'm not needing to fly necessarily around the world to do workshops, which is fun, but there's only one of me. You know, being able to make it so that it's something people can access and, you know, take the classes online would be wonderful. And so that's something definitely for the future, as well as
I'm saying building that passive income for you too. You can be asleep and making money, which is the best part.
That's right.
And did you have a next step for your platform that you were going to mention as well?
Well, I love writing. And so the truth is I've constantly got new book ideas coming through, because that's something that just really inspires me to, you know, put together the next idea. But I think that's a good point for people, especially authors, to keep in mind. You can make more money when you've got at least something that you can sell for more like $200 than in the $20 range, because you don't need so many sales to cover your rent and your expenses for the month, because we've got ongoing monthly expenses, but need to find a financial way to make it work. Yeah, so
absolutely. So any last bit of advice you have to a listener who is thinking about starting the business, maybe hasn't or is in the beginning phases, and they're just looking for that little advice to get them through?
Yeah, there's a part of you that already knows how to do this. And this is a concept from the science in my book, Quantum Jumps, just recognizing that if you consider that you're probably living in this holographic multiverse with all these different versions of yourself, this is how we get those feelings of intuition, that sense that you know something, and learn to trust that intuitive counsel inside yourself, trust yourself, know that you know how to do this, and everything you need will be provided. All you need to do is just keep asking the best questions. And one of my favorite questions is, how good can it get?
Oh, I love that. Love it. Well, I know I'm going to go be reading Quantum Jumps, because I'm so fascinated by that whole arena of things. I absolutely love it. So I'll be doing that. And if my listeners wanted to find you in your books, where would they find you?
My website is realityshifters.com. And if you go there, then you can see all of my books, and you can connect with me through YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and I think just most of it. But you can also sign up for the newsletter, of course, which is free, and I publish it once a month. And I do include stories from people who've had amazing experiences, mind, body, spirit types of experiences, synchronicities, coincidences, as well as cutting edge scientific studies and research. And that's free. So it's a wonderful resource, and you can see all of the past issues since 1999, they're all posted right there at realityshifters.com.
Wonderful. Well, we'll all be taking a peek. Thank you so much for your time, and all the information you've given us has been invaluable.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure to be on the show.
You have been listening to The Mindful Marketing Show with me, your host, Kimberly Maska. You can get more information about this episode and all of my episodes at mindfulmarketingshow.com. There you will find all of the show notes and links to the books and business resources we discussed. Again, that's mindfulmarketingshow.com. Until next time, be passionate, be inspired, and live your dream. Have a beautiful day.